We'll come to order. Rise for the flag salute. We're now convening the open session of the Los Osos Community Services District. We just came out of closed session. Mr. Seitz, do you have any announcements to make?
Yes, I do. President Gustafson, members of the board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at 6 p.m. this evening. They are on the items that were listed in the agenda package, and all items were discussed. In regards to labor negotiations, they met with Bruce Buell. Harriet Steiner did not participate. They heard a report but gave no reportable action. In regards to litigation, they heard a report from me in regards to all three items listed there, specifically LOCSD versus Chevron, secondly, Cal Cities versus RWQCB, and third, Los Osos versus Cal Cities Water. In each case, there was no, they heard a report, but there was no reportable action taken. Finally, in regards to property negotiations, they did discuss one item. They heard a report from Bruce Buell, but they did not take any reportable action. And that concludes my report, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. We'll now go into public hearing. We have one public hearing this evening, and it regards an ordinance establishing the guidelines for...
Ordinance. This is an ordinance that would establish the general guidelines for the program, and this evening you would be doing your first reading and introduction and make determination if you wanted to edit any portions of the ordinance. Let me speak first to the program. The program, as enabled by Assembly Bill 706, is intended to help property owners fund connecting to the wastewater facility. What is eligible are the cost of the work to extend the lateral from the habitation to the property line and to decommission the septic tank. We are recommending, and this ordinance provides for, the criteria for eligibility. Basically, if the property owner can prove they're a property owner and that they are not in default or delinquent on their property taxes, then they'd be eligible for those specified costs. There would be a process set forth. We start that in the ordinance, but we would also bring back to you a resolution with details that would provide for the borrowing of money from lending institutions, the selection of the lending institution, the use of the property tax as the collection mechanism to repay the loan, the term of the loan, how the property owners would apply for the Assembly Bill 706 money, and how that would be repaid back to the district so that the district could pay the bank as set forth. The whole program is somewhat unusual. As I mentioned, this law is unique. Your district board wanted to offer low-interest loan money to property owners, whether they're homeowner occupants or businesses, whatever they are. This was a fail-safe to provide a lower-cost money. So that is a general description. This evening we have scheduled this as a hearing. Following the reception of public comment, your board should either read the text of the ordinance or to approve the first reading by title. You can edit at this time, so if there are any edits, now is the appropriate time to recommend those. And if you do reach closure this evening on the first reading of the ordinance, then we would also request that you set a hearing for adoption of the ordinance at your March 18th board meeting. And, Councillor, did you want to add anything to those comments? Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Do we have any board comment at this time before we go to public comment? Do we have any public comment on this item?
I have one comment.
Vice President Hensley.
As public's coming forward, editorial comment. The recommendation says set the hearing for March 19. You are asking for March 18, correct?
Yes. March 18th is your regular meeting. I apologize that I confused February and March. Got a little ahead of me.
It is, quoting Mr. Buell, cheap money being made available to rental property owners. Rental property owners should be at the bottom of the priority list for these loans, especially since there are no district rent control guidelines, with the exception of the mobile home parks, to keep landlords from raising rents beyond what is needed to cover the costs related to lateral connections. Some landlords have already imposed increases of up to 200 per month to cover anticipated costs. The rich get richer, and the poor may be forced out of our town forever. Three, there currently is no income level limit to qualify for these loans. Why not? If the purpose of this legislation is to help those in need of assistance, why should any household with income of $75,000, $100,000, or $150,000 be allowed the same opportunity to benefit as would a household of four with annual income to, say, $35,000? You need to set parameters, not now, not later, to ensure that those truly in need are the first to benefit from First Bank CSD. Lowest household income applications should all be processed first. Lowest to highest should be the guidelines, not first who comes in, first who goes out. Four, the ordinance draft states that homeowners will apply directly to the district. What right to privacy guidelines will be implemented with regard to the possible 1,000-plus applicant files you may have to maintain? Where will these files be stored? Who will be responsible for their storage and their security? A major concern, as we all are aware, as we certainly don't want the CSD to become Big Brother looking over our information. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Taylor. Next.
Carissa Swanson, Los Osos. What increases in personnel will be required to administer this program at the district level? 2,000 staff hours equal to one full-time employee would need to be allocated. If you receive 1,000 applications and each application requires 2 hours to process, 1,000 applications may be a conservative estimate based on the fact that upwards of 35% of this community's households fall in one of the following three categories: very low, low, or moderate income. And 2 hours per file may also be a conservative estimate, as this district has never operated as a lender. I don't think you have the foggiest idea what you are in for. When all is said and done, you may not want the distinction of being the only CSD in the state with such borrowing and lending authority. Roughly, what are the district's costs of borrowing this money and the district's costs of processing the loans? Will these costs be passed on to homeowners in the form of a percentage of the amount borrowed or as a lump sum fee? Under Section 5 of the ordinance, districts' approval of loan applications, there is no mention of an applicant's ability to repay their loan when the tax bill arrives. Will income verification be required, or simply verification that the property is free of tax liens? Although the intent may have been worthy of the effort, AB 706 and this ordinance are seriously flawed and could end up being more of a headache than a help to the district. If Abel Maldonado wanted to help, he should have stumped for grants and not loans. Those in need of financial assistance need just that, financial assistance, and not another
issue receive or have that led to their conclusion that Los Osos has many low-income property owners. Amazing that the legislature came to this conclusion, as we still wait for Gordon to inform us of everything he insinuated he knew about median and low-income households within the prohibition zone. Two meetings ago, when Julie Tacker presented a median income census tract map to this board, is it fair that you won't share this information with the community? If you set March 18th for a hearing to adopt this ordinance, the Finance Committee will not have a chance to review and comment, as its next scheduled meeting is not until March 31st. Considering the preceding lists of concerns, that would be a big mistake. And finally, please remember that this is a loan program, and each individual loan must be repaid in full within 5 years. We need a significant increase in the low-income assistance fund to help those who won't qualify for any assistance program due to age, tax delinquency, or lack of sufficient income to repay a loan. Let's make sure no one slips through the voids. To that end, I believe the only worthy final destination for the recently allocated STAG grant is the Low-Income Assistance Fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Mr. President, members of the board and staff and the public. The thing that I see about this AB 706 is that it's going to be repaid and collected along with your property tax, if I'm hearing everything correctly. We've just received the first bill for this project, and it's $221 a year for the single-family house, whether it's no matter what the tax assessment may be. It's the same for all single-family houses. Now, that's approximately one-fifth of what the project's going to cost. So if you multiply that $221 times 5, you'll come up to a little over $1,000 a year that your tax bill is going to be raised. And now we're looking at if you got, say $2,000 hookup, you're going to be paying $231 again on your $2,310 on your tax bill when you're already getting a back-breaking bill for this project. I would think that a person would be a lot safer to take out a home improvement loan than to have it added to his tax bill and maybe pay on it monthly rather than have this back-breaking thing stuck on his tax bill with a, looking forward to a tax sale to lose his house. I think it would be a good idea to reevaluate what you're doing to this community and stop this insanely expensive project. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. I wanted to address the ordinance, Section 3, eligibility. All non-tax delinquent property owners who desire financial assistance for decommissioning septic tanks, installation of grinder pumps, and sewer laterals on their private property are eligible to participate in the program. I wondered if you could expand on that definition. There's a lot to hooking up to the sewer, and what my concern is will that include cultural resources? If someone has sensitive property, tents, and where that goes, my understanding is that it won't be going to the new sewer plant.
Yeah, Julie, I think this is on the ordinance. Now, those are
right.
Other
I just want that this definition be inclusive in landscape replacement, whatever the costs are of that homeowner.
Yeah, I understand. But in terms of identifying specific questions, if it's to include other functions, I understand your question.
That's really my question,
I'd
like to see it broken down for, the worst case scenario for somebody. Because I believe that those costs are going to be quite extensive. And if you are loaning, if you have one pot of money and you're loaning it out and some people need more money than others or you have an average, it's going to matter about how much money you have available to you. And would those that are interested, would there be enough money to go around is kind of my question or kind of my point. So if you didn't want me to ask, then maybe you'd be more clear.
Any other public comment?
Hello, my name is Al Vero with Case, and I am the Affordable housing advocate. I don't hear any other voices around here, but I hope that your program accommodates affordability with the loan and all the rest of it.
Mr. Barrow, before you get started, I see you have an easel set up, but it's facing away from the board, and of course,
this is not part of this comment.
Well, that's not part of that one. We'll get to that later then. Okay, continue.
And I do apologize for dropping my easels when Mrs. Tacker was giving her presentation. Anyway, affordability, I'm concerned about the landlords that own property here. I think if they're qualified for breaks like regular low-income property owners, then they can pass that savings on. And I think that's a concern that we all had at the beginning when we first started, was affordability and the low-income people. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment on this item? I'll bring it back to the board. Mr. Buell, there were several questions asked. Do you have any comments regarding either Mrs. Taylor's questions or Mrs. Tacker's questions?
Thank you, Mr. President. We will be sending out a request for proposal. We will focus on lending institutions that operate in this county. We intend to use an inclusive process and solicit as many bids from lenders as we can to get the best deal for the community. I think it's interesting that one speaker opposed lending money to landlords and another speaker supported lending money to landlords. There was some discussion over whether we needed income levels. That is not our proposal. Our understanding from the banks is that they are eager to lend the money to us, and our philosophy has been to try to help as many people as we possibly can throughout the income spectrum. This is not cost and some small point spread to carry the cost of that staff person. We do not propose income verification. It is our belief that the property tax roll provides adequate support, security. This county has what is called the teeter plan, and the banks, we've had several meetings between the banks and Jerry Sebald, the county auditor controller, and the banks are comfortable that the provisions set forth into the county's property tax procedures ensure repayment to the district. So that is encouraging. In terms of the cost to the property owners, we are proposing this program because we do believe we can do better than banks. Obviously, if property owners wish to go to banks, we have researched the programs that are available, and we believe that the competitive system is appropriate. There's no reason that property owners can't do their research and pick the program that best meets their needs. A speaker did speak to landscape removal and other items, and I think that may be an appropriate amendment to sections 1 and 3 of the ordinance. I believe that Director Bowker may have similar thoughts to share with you under your board discussion.
Mr. Buell, I think there was also a question relative to cultural resource. Well, everything is required if, in fact, there's a cultural resource problem.
Whatever permit costs that a homeowner, property owner might have would be eligible, and you may want to just make that specific here in the generic. And I do believe that there's a phrase in there already speaking to decommissioning of septic tanks, so I believe that has already been covered.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Board comment, Director Bowker.
A couple of comments. I do want to make it perfectly clear that the cost for the program will be borne by the people participating in the program, that if it's necessary to hire an additional staff person to administer the program, then the loan participant's costs would include the cost of the staffing to administer the program. There was some concern that we were taking away from programs to the low income, but the idea is that there are programs specific for very low income and low income, such as the Community Development Block Grant Program or the USDA Grant Program, that property owners who are not considered low or very low income, but let's face it, if you've got a couple of kids in school and unexpected medical expenses, a source of a loan at a lower interest rate than if you were to do a home equity loan might be very much appreciated by members of the community. I had expressed my concern to you that there might be some necessary repairs because of where septic tanks and leach fields and home sewers are located. If it's necessary to cut into a driveway, if it's necessary to go through a retaining wall to get to the street, and the guidelines are a separate process from the ordinance, which says, yes, you may have this program, then we develop the guidelines by which the program is run. So we have to kind of distinguish where we're doing what.
And, in fact, the ordinance itself is not meant to be comprehensive in terms of the implementing part of the process. That's where you'll get a lot more of the detail. This is just to establish the program and the basic guidelines of the program. There was, I believe, another question, Mr. Buell, relative to private lender and public lender. And could you explain what that is?
Well, I'll have to research that, Mr. President. But our intention is to use public lending institutions that are doing business in this county.
Any additional board comment?
You ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Buell, could you give me one more time that the edit on the permit language? I believe Section 3 is the place.
I would encourage you to look at both Section 3 and Section 1. And if I can use Section 1 as a starting point. I would propose that you revise the end of the sentence where it says cost associated with decommissioning septic tanks, grinder pump installation, and lateral installation to facilitate private property owners' connection to the project. I believe you could insert language such as cost associated with decommissioning septic tanks, grinder pump installation, comma, delete the and, lateral installation, comma, and related permit and landscape repair cost to facilitate property owner connection to the project.
I'd like to offer that as an edit. And is there an additional one on 3?
Yeah, you do the same thing down in 3. You would delete the and between grinder pumps and sewer laterals, and you would insert a new comma following sewer laterals and the words and related permit and landscape repair costs.
Do we need language about archaeological issues?
Well, I believe that relates to the permits.
The permit.
I think that all falls into that.
All right. I would offer up both of those as edits to Section 1 and Section 3.
And might we have, in terms of legislative intent, that this ordinance is meant to be interpreted in a broad manner in terms of qualifying costs? It's not to be literal as opposed to when we're talking about decommissioning septic tanks, there are other costs that may come in. And it's meant to be a broad definition for that.
I agree with that, and also discussing this with district council earlier, district council is going to encourage the board to include an appeal process in the determination so that property owners will have redress to second opinion.
And if I could just follow up on that, that would be included within the resolution.
So, yes, I know that. That's been taken out, so I just want to be certain that that's on the record.
Right, so that would be another edit, Mr. President? You would
yeah,
delete
the
that.
Original, but it is now changed from the original one. Are there any other board comment? Is there a motion to to approve the first reading by title?
I so move.
With the edits?
With the edits, yes.
Second.
Director Freiler?
Yes.
Director Bowker?
Yes.
Director Legros?
Yes.
Vice President Hensley?
Yes.
President Gustafson?
Yes. And might we have the first reading?
Yeah.
By title.
At this point, what your motion should be to approve the first reading and set consideration of adoption at a hearing to be held on March 18.
So moved.
Second.
Director Legros?
Yes.
Vice President Hensley?
Yes.
Director Bowker?
Yes.
Director Freiler?
Yes.
President Gustafson?
Yes. Now might we have the... Read by title.
Right. At this time, this will be the first reading. This is an ordinance of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors implementing a loan program for identified purposes pursuant to Government Code Section 61600.3.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. And the it'll be set for a meeting on March 18th. At this time, we're going to have a recess for 5 minutes to allow members of the public to submit speaker cards to Mrs. Vega. So we'll take 5 minutes at this time and submit the cards and get ready for public comment.
Created by that will be, we'll keep our septic tanks and use the effluent sewer that was originally planned in the first place. Effluent collection, I should say. So there would be a lot of improvements. Wouldn't have to destroy the roads, no disruptions, 90% sludge removal. So we'd become a sustainable, low energy using system. I'd also like to point out that the sewer site, as it's known today, Tri-W site, has some drainage problems, and I'd like to verify that with these photographs from the last rain event. This is the sewer sign. This is water coming down Los Osos Valley Road. This is a lake over by St. Ann's Seton's. Here's the river running through the site. So we think those are major concerns for liquefaction. Other points of view. We believe that the sewer site that's preferred is the Andre site in the FEIR, which is located outside of town, where odors are not a problem, where traffic from sewage and sludge trucks will be minimalized, is right there. I think it's right there. Just make sure. Oh, no, it's right here. Clark Valley Road. It would be just by the cemetery in this shot way over here. So it's about a mile out of town. And so anyway, I'd like to close by asking you once again to call 534-0800 and help beef up our efforts. And we have some fairly easy tasks to do. And if you want to go to on our website, you can look at our website, case-environmental.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Bruce Payne, Julie Tacker, and then Jerry Walsh.
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Mr. President, members of board, staff, and viewers. Tuesday, I went into the county and watched them do their usual rubber stamp thing on allowing 50% more waste to be spread on farmland. This is sludge from sewage plants. If it comes from areas out of the county, it will be also containing a lot of industrial waste, which we don't have with our own county-type sludge. However, the project that you're saddling us with here, this outrageous expensive thing, is going to produce hazardous waste, and I call unclassified sludge hazardous waste because it requires to be set in a lined basin with a drain to be caught any runoff, and it has to be covered. And we know from what we're paying to clean up Casmelia how well those lined ponds hold the hazardous waste. They don't work. One other point that I didn't write down was pressure sludge out the sewage out of lower lying areas. You might check with Mr. Hyland. He can tell you how many inches it takes to create a pound of pressure with a square inch of water. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Julie Tacker and Jerry Walsh, followed by George Taylor. Before we get started, Mr. Buell, is it possible to have the sign moved from that location?
The sign you want?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mrs. Tacker.
Before I get into my remarks, I wondered if the Finance Committee would be seeing that bill, that ordinance, pardon me. I think that's important that you guys digest that. I am Julie Tacker, and your board has been making headlines. The Tribune said, Los Osos CSD turns to court to settle feud over water rights. The Bay News said, I like this graphic, CSD sues Cal Cities over rights to groundwater. Despite my being an avid board watcher, I knew nothing of the LOCSD's intention to file a lawsuit against Cal Cities, S&T Mutual, the county, Sea Pines Golf Course. Having studied the water master plan, I was not surprised to read about it, but was surprised when I read the suit. The newspaper articles failed to mention the additional 500 defendants. Does 1 through 500 inclusive. Does 1 through 500 inclusive is anyone who owns a well, including me and some of you. Many of our neighbors outside the prohibition zone own private wells. I telephoned Councillor John Seitz, and he informed me that we does have not been served yet. So technically, we're not being sued until we're served. He explained he hoped he wouldn't have to. I'm not very comfortable with that. In the Bay News, a letter to the editor, the current Bay News this week, Los Osos resident Bob Stark clearly sets the tone of how private well owners will feel about this action once they are aware of their involvement. Mr. Stark is concerned about the action, the consequences of the sewer project, and the well-being of his potable water supply. Another lawsuit, Cal Cities versus Regional Water Quality Control Board, explains the LOCSD no longer participates in technical advisory committee meetings. Those monthly meetings among water purveyors discuss the basin and how it should be managed. The LOCSD has chosen to litigate rather than seek mediation or mitigate. It is my understanding that the cost to mitigate for Cal City's concerns would be less than the Singleton PR.
Yeah, our agenda in closed session is always announced prior to going in.
Just make a few notes here. Yes, as President Gustafson indicated, this matter has been on our agenda and depicted on the closed session agenda, I believe, for the last couple months, perhaps longer than that. In terms of the litigation, it sets forth a number of causes of action, but it's basically in part response to what the lawsuit brought by Cal Cities against the district, but it seeks much broader remedies. If you read the lawsuit, you'll notice that there's an indication regarding the potential for ground saltwater intrusion in a certain part of the basin. We believe that that is largely caused, and we're alleging in the lawsuit, by Cal Cities. And in terms of the naming of does in a lawsuit, you have to name does, or at some later date, you have to seek to totally amend your complaint. It's a lot less expensive process to name does at the beginning and then substitute those when and if you feel those parties are necessary. Right now, we believe that we have the parties necessary involved in the lawsuit. It'll be conduct by Cal Cities that'll primarily be responsible for bringing in anybody else, including other well owners. I'm not saying that the district won't, at some future point when circumstances become more known or investigation discloses more facts, that we might have to use those does to name other parties, but right now we're comfortable with the people that we've actually named.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Wait just a second, Jerry. Director Freiler.
Yes, I'd like to respond to the Water Basin Technical Advisory Committee that had meetings for over 8 years with the water basin purveyors. It is not the district that canceled the basin meetings. Cal Cities initiated a lawsuit, and that made it impossible for us to meet with Cal Cities. So Cal Cities threw the first stone, and we merely responded.
Thank you, Director Perler. Jerry Walsh.
Due to the flu, I was unable to attend your last meeting. However, I watched a tape of that meeting about 3 times and am still disgusted by the pompous arrogance this board exhibited when commenting on the results of the February 7th Unite and Right campaign. For example, Frank, with your "Did you think we would buy into it?" comment, and Richard, with your "I felt the letter-writing campaign could do just fine without me" comment. You were invited to participate, you should have participated, and you should have encouraged your supporters to join their neighbors February 7th at the Little White Schoolhouse. No excuses. Have you ever heard of goodwill? Stand to prompt Mr. Buell to say that Senator Feinstein's office did not want to receive any more letters from this community was deplorable. I wonder what she personally would think of such a comment. Your letter-writing campaign was 3 years ago, not 3 months ago. There have been many concerns, questions, and broken promises since. It is time for these representatives to again hear from this community. Gordon, you were off pursuing other interests. Because of my age, I received half of my pension. The rules have changed since my retirement. The extravagant cost of Los Osos Sewer will certainly be a financial hardship. My folks lost their home during the Depression. I lost my home when the state built the 210 freeway. Now in my last years, the Los Osos Sewer cost may take my home. It's a shame you just don't get it.
Director Freiler.
Ms. Walsh, you are out of touch. You are think that you're able to stand up there and discredit myself and the board members for our realistic and true feelings. And I think that is out of touch with you to believe that we should think otherwise.
Thank you for your comment.
And I can only say that what you thought was deplorable happens to be the truth. And if you look at that tape, you'll also find that I do hope it works, and it is of some benefit. But I did want to say, and Mr. Buell was there when it was said, that was the comment. Vice President Hensley.
I was not at the last meeting, so I don't know exactly what went on. But I am very disappointed and a little discouraged that I did go to your letter writing. And I don't understand that you're annoyed because directors didn't go, and you're annoyed because I did go. So I'm just not quite sure what exactly is up. Thank you.
Okay, the next comment is George Taylor. Mrs. Walsh, you've had your 3 minutes. I'm sorry. So you've had your comment. George Taylor, James T. Cash, and Steve Sennett. Thank you.
We were just disappointed that you didn't participate, not that you didn't go.
Thank you, Mrs. Walsh. Mr. Taylor, James T. Cash, and Steve Sennett.
George Taylor, Los Osos. The letter writing was for people to write letters, not come and editorialize and politicize. My comment tonight is related to a letter in the Tribune. Mr. Buell, last CSD meeting, was very vociferous and pointing out some letters that he had excerpted from the newspaper. I don't think that he would really have excerpted this one. It says, "What happened in Los Osos? What happened to communities, to common sense? In 1998, Los Osos was still alive with hope. By forming a community services district, we chose to take hold of our destiny and elect a board of directors to lead us to a great solution to our so-called wastewater problem. Then the CSD hired a general manager, and it's been all downhill from there. What do we have? Treatment plant in the middle of town to produce unclassified sludge, disposal of which may prove difficult to be neither hidden nor odorless as its design alters from the week to week, to be placed on an earthquake fault area as proven by recent earthquakes, to add to the disasters of the sewer plan. California City's water company has a major lawsuit against the proposed disposal plant. Why does the CSD adamantly refuse to build a decent, sensible system outside of town that could be a better and cheaper disposal job without so recklessly destroying the diversity of our unique village? What happened to the fiscal responsibility people were elected to keep Los Osos a pleasant place to live? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. James T. Cash, Steve Sennett, and Keith Swanson.
Good evening. James T. Cash, Los Osos. Late on the agenda, last meeting, there was discussion and adoption of, to go ahead and prepare a model of the wastewater treatment facility. There was discussion in that, in public comment, regarding having a virtual model that would be available to be viewed on a computer that would show different angles and views of the plant. And there was also a request for story poles to be constructed on the site to show the approximate height of roof lines and the height of the facilities as will be constructed on the site. And I was hoping that at some point in the evening, if the board or Mr. Buell could address whether or not those items will be included as part of the cost of the model. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Buell, do you have any comment on that?
We hope that at your April 1st board meeting, we will be able to display the model and also the computer graphics that go with the model. Your board did not authorize the story polls.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Steve Sennett, followed by Keith Swanson and Cynthia Mulligan.
Thank you. My name is Steve Sennett. I'm from Los Osos. What is the difference between a weed and a flower? Excuse me, I have a cold. Now, what is the difference between sewer effluent and drinking water? The CSD's current lawsuit against local water purveyors seemed to indicate that there is little difference other than one you charge people to produce and one you charge people to consume. We have an idea of what it will cost to produce the effluent, but we don't know what the cost will be in terms of making that water drinkable. Indeed, the CSD's Water Master Plan states that the future quality of the treated wastewater effluent is not known. Likewise, you can't know the future quality of the harvest well water either. Although a full analytical test of the upper aquifer is pending, it's curious as to why the test hasn't already been completed and why it is being delayed, this test, why it is being delayed until construction of the plant is well underway. In spite of the tremendous efforts by the board in developing the sewer project, accumulation of incremental refinements in the project design and costs have revealed a project that warrants formal review as to its success in set ground. There was never a requirement by that board to provide water for build-out. The effort to provide additional water required for build-out came subsequent to that order by the CSD as one of its own objectives. It would have been remiss of the board not to have considered the source for build-out water, and it was their obligation to do so. But by the same token, you also needed to consider the limitation of the groundwater basin and with respect to the community's ability to provide the resources and their willingness to accept the terms under which they would consume harvested wastewater for the benefit of future development. In closing, if the board continues with construction of the project without a formal review at this point, it will lead the residents down a course of unknowns in terms of ruinous costs for many, significant risk of personal safety and loss of property to others, and the prospect of a sour taste in everyone's mouth, except those like Cameron Diaz, who washes her face in Avian water. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Senator. Mr. Buell, wasn't there a safe yield model done for the basin as part of this program? We did that as...
We've actually developed a safe yield model. URS Griner did that in 1999, and then Cleith updated that model last year. So we've had progressive refinements on our modeling and analysis of the basin to understand its dynamics and its potential.
And wasn't there also a study done on liquefaction, and what were the results?
There have been several studies, progressively more detailed. The general determination, Jonathan Blanchard, now with Fugro West, is that there is no greater potential for liquefaction with or without the project.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Keith Swanson, followed by Cynthia Mulligan, followed by Vivian McNeil.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. The letter-writing campaign. When that idea came up, it said, let's do something positive for the community. You know, we come up here and we criticize, we have concerns about the sewer plant, but we felt, you know, this is a time that we do something good for the community. So we put it together. It was a success. And the board criticized our intent. It was not to trick anybody here at all. I mean, we had true good intentions. But by your comments, you slapped everybody in the face that participated. Anyone that watches this and sees what you guys had to say about what they did, and they did it with good intent. It just, you know, we're not always bad people here, you know. We want to do good things for the community. It's not all about the sewer plant. The sewer plant's a big issue, but, you know, there's other things we do that we try to do that's good. Regarding the water thing and the recharge and all of that, why don't you put it on your agenda to explain this all to everybody here as to what all of this is going to do. And it seems like in the lawsuit that there's some concern that there is saltwater intrusion, which may be a concern that do we have enough water to lift the moratorium? I just think we need to be explained to us. I know it's been updated, but board's reaction to our letter writing campaign. I think we were genuine in what we were doing. Our intent was to do good, and you guys took it the wrong way. Thank you.
Yeah, let me say one more time. I said once tonight, and I did when it came up the first time. I hope it works. I believe me, I do, because I was one of the instrumental ones in the letter writing campaign 3 years ago, and we had over 1,000 letters written. And believe me, Mr. Swanson, please.
I'm sorry, you did.
I'm saying I hope it works, and that's great. Cynthia Mulligan, followed by Vivian McNeil, followed by Steve Sawyer.
Good evening, Cynthia Mulligan, Baywood Park. First of all, Chief Vigil of the San Luis Coastal Chumash Council says no, and Elder Mary Trejo say no. The bodies stay where they're at. They will not sign. Now, that said, the Bay News, CSD goes after Al. This article quotes Ms. Mike Seitz. The district wants people to know that the district is serious about getting its costs back if people choose to sue. I think that's a fair message to let people know. I really do. Lawsuits are lengthy and costly. In your attempt to make an example of poor Mr. Barrow for his lawsuit that would have moved the sewer, Mr. Seitz has racked up over $2,000 in attorney fees, pursuing only $3,800. Doesn't seem right or feasible. In tonight's closed session agenda, you discuss three pending lawsuits and three current lawsuits. Mr. Seitz, what municipality has no lawsuits? Do you know of any infrastructure project of this size that has no lawsuits? You are inviting opposition by filing the lawsuit against well owners. You are perpetuating the division of our charming village. What is it? The old adage, divide and conquer. Well, we believe united we stand, not divided we fall. Thank you.
I think the commenter said that there were six lawsuits, three pending and three ongoing. And in fact, there are only three lawsuits. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Vivian McNeil, followed by Steve Sawyer, followed by June Wright.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have two comments I would like to make tonight. The first has to do with the proposal by the state of California to close down the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, and I have put some letters on the back table. There are in sets of three. One is addressed to Abel Maldonado, one to Bruce McPherson, and one to Governor Schwarzenegger. And I would encourage anybody that wants to take a set of those and sign them and mail them in. They need all of this. The committee just had their first meeting last evening, so we have some details to work out. There are eight positions that are up for election. The Los Osos area is divided into four districts, so there would be two people chosen for each district. It's different than other elections in that with this one, you only have to be 18 years of age, be a resident of Los Osos, and fill out the terms of conditions for serving. And you can run for election. So I would encourage, we will be getting more information out. I believe that the press releases have gone to the papers, and we will be getting more stuff out in the next couple of weeks. The deadline for applying is before the beginning of the next LOCAC meeting, which is March the 25th. It has to be before the beginning of the meeting for you to be considered. Thank you.
Steve Sawyer, followed by Lindy Owen, followed by June Wright.
Steve Sawyer, Los Osos. I'm here to talk to you again tonight about the upcoming fire tax that's going to begin the end of next month. If after hearing me speak tonight you want some further information, you can go to www.noonfiretax.org. And the site is updated pretty much every week, so check back for updated information. I'd like to mention on numerous occasions in the past, Speaker June Wright, who's going to be up right after me, has mentioned concerns she has about property insurance and if we lose a level of service in the fire department, that she's afraid our property taxes might go up. I did a little looking into this and determined that Los Osos has an ISO rating of 5. The ISO rating is what insurance companies use to determine our taxes. And just as an example, San Luis City, their fire department, because of their services and what they provide in San Luis, they have an ISO rating of 2. An ISO rating of 1 is a perfect score. So if we have someone like San Luis City Fire to that can improve our level of service, that will better your property taxes. It may better your property taxes. I'd also like to mention that in addition to this, I know I've mentioned this before, but in addition to this fire tax that we're talking about, the budget that was in a prior Bear Pride newsletter talks about the property taxes that help fund the fire department. Currently, 78% of the budget comes from your property taxes. On average, the average residence in Los Osos pays $250. That's 6 times the special fire tax that you're currently paying. 6 times that comes out of your property taxes on average to go towards the fire budget. The other day at the Emergency Services Committee, Jim Murray, who's a committee member, stated that he was aware, the Emergency Services Committee and the CSD is aware of a 5% annual increase in property taxes every year. So this propaganda that's been put out by the SONG and the CSD Fire Department partnered with another agency, I find it interesting you didn't have them look into that. It goes on to say, I guess I'm out of time.
Thank you, Mr. Sawyer.
See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and there will be, I'll be asking for some comments relative to some of the questions you raised here as soon as we get through the next few speakers. Lindy Owen, followed by June Wright, followed by Laura Brown.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I first wanted to speak to the fact that I've been involved in a couple of the lawsuits that are trying to get us a better wastewater system and project, and have listened to so much criticism that I just wanted to criticize this lawsuit against the water purveyors in our town. That, I mean, our sewer fees are going to pay for this lawsuit, not money that was raised by donations from people. The money I have to pay for a sewer is going to pay to sue my neighbors. And I feel that you really failed to bring that to our town to discuss or even hear about. It was just first time we heard about it was in the media. I think that's pathetic. So shame on you on there. I wanted to talk a little bit about government process. RCSD was formed to help us get away from a county government that we felt was very neglectful and had become heavy-handed about forcing us to have a conventional wastewater treatment plant and collection system. And here we are today, 5 years later, after fighting and the thrill of getting our own government, and we're getting a conventional sewer again, and there's no excuse for it. I call what has been produced in our town the closed-door policy. You have an agenda. The councils are loaded. Your committees are loaded with your choices. You get to choose them. You know, it is pretty scary when you look at what has been created in this town. And I just wanted to go on and say people can join the LOCAC committee, and it's a step in the right direction to get involved in the town. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's one meeting the last Thursday of every month. It takes about 3 hours. LOCAC says that the advisory committee reviews projects for construction, conservation, parks, trails, and other matters of importance to Los Osos, and it makes recommendations to the Board of Supervisors on behalf of the citizens and residents of Los Osos. We need to get some fresh blood into our government here. It is stagnant and has created what I call a boondoggle of a sewer, a water recycling plan that nobody's happy with, fire tax that nobody's, you know, sees any need for. I encourage people to please think about taking it. It isn't a big commitment. There is some education that goes along with it. There'll be some extra reading. I think you missed the sterile habitat update, which took a lot of time on everybody's part. You can get your applications and read the bylaws at the CSD office. Less than 50 people voted last time. We'd like to see a much bigger community effort to join this government. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Thank you, Mr. Buell. June Wright, followed by Laura Brown.
Good evening, Mr. President, director, staff, audience here and at home. My name is June Wright, a resident of Los Osos. I'd like to correct one statement that Mr. Sawyer said. After expressing my concern about fire insurance premiums, I too did some research, and apparently he's forgotten or didn't hear. At the next meeting, I corrected about my concerns and that we did not have to worry about the fire insurance. I'm also a member of the CSCSD, a group dedicated to supporting our very capable community services district directors who have been working diligently for several years to solve our wastewater problems by overseeing the design and building of a 21st century treatment facility that will not only help to solve these problems, but will be compatible with our community, with lawn, trees, and shrubs between the facility and Los Osos Valley Road. I feel it will be less of an intrusion on the landscape than the shopping center that the original zoning would have allowed. But another roadblock has been put in our path due to another appeal filed by the opponents, this time to deny the coastal permit previously issued. Please join with our CSCSD group and visit our table at the Baywood Farmers Market on Mondays to sign a letter asking the Coastal Commission to deny this spurious appeal. As our sign states, we believe in moving forward now, and that means now, not another 25 years from now. I especially appreciate all of you who have stopped by our table and given us words of encouragement, as the opponents, as evidence of their goodwill, have zeroed in on some of us CSD supporters as targets for negative comments. Knowing some of their other targets, at this point in my life, this 73-year-old widow is quite happy to be in such excellent company. And at least they get my name right. Thank you.
Mrs. Wright. Laura Brown.
I'm Laura Brown. I live in Los Osos. I was born here, and I've lived here a very long time. Tonight, I wanted to talk about the fire tax. A lot of people in the community think that this is a CSD problem, that this is a South Bay Fire Department problem, that we're having trouble with our budget, and it's not. There was a recent survey in the International Association of Fire Chiefs website, and it says that according to the results of an electronic survey of members of the International Association of Fire Chiefs, budget and staffing shortfalls are the top problems facing fire chiefs in 2004, with more than 68% of responding fire officials citing budget and 58% citing staffing at the top of their problem cutbacks while they're also struggling to respond to increased call volume, community growth, new responsibilities and regulations. That's Los Osos. We're responding to all those things. We're responding to new regulatory requirements. Our calls have gone up from 483 in 1981 when the fire tax was originally put into place up to 1,153 last year. We have more people to respond to. 70% of our calls are medical aides. Personally, I would like to see people in this community out of that 1,153 calls that we had last year. If the fire department helped you and you want them to come next time and help you too and be there quickly and trained and have the equipment to do their job the next time you or your loved one needs help, I would encourage you to support this fire tax. Vote yes on Measure G. The Yes on G committee chairperson is Joe Asire. He's out of town tonight, or he would be here. And this is your time to help out the committee. We need donations. We need support. We need you to step forward and keep the excellent level of service that's currently being provided here in our town. I know when my husband had a heart attack and I had to call, I was sure glad they were there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Brown. I've got a couple of questions relative to the fire tax. I know Mr. Sawyer asked a couple of things earlier. He was talking about ISO rating. My understanding is that part of that ISO rating comes from your water pressure, and we went through several hearings on water pressure and the water master plan and how to increase that pressure. And I know that there were some people objecting to expending money in terms of the water master plan, but unless we get the water pressure up, we will have some difficulty with the ISO rating. Isn't that right?
That is correct. Not only the water pressure, the fire flow, and the hydrant spacing, all of those are components of the ISO rating.
And in terms of the water pressure, having San Luis City here, unless they bring their pipes and their water pressure with them, we would have a little difficulty. I don't think that would help much in terms of that piece of it.
Well, I think you should also note that the city of San Luis pays much more per capita than we do for their fire services.
The next question I've got is relative to the increase in property tax. I think it might be a good time to define what ERAF is and give an explanation of what that is and why we don't get back the entire property tax that gets paid to Sacramento.
Mr. President, I'll try to be brief. This is a subject that could be discussed for hours. In 1991-92, the state had a fiscal problem, and they solved part of their fiscal problem by inventing what's called the Education Revenue Augmentation Fund. It's a fancy way of saying that the state decided they needed 45% of local property taxes more than local government, and they transferred that from local government to the state to backfill their shortage. It was supposed to be temporary, but in 92-93, Judge Analyst last week proposed in regard to special districts a 50% transfer to the state.
And that's the legislative analyst in Sacramento?
Yes, her Elizabeth name is Hill. Elizabeth Hill.
Right. And in terms of that ERAF shift, currently I believe for what would have been the old CSA 9, which is now currently the CSD, it amounts to $8 million in cumulative taxes that Sacramento kept.
That's correct.
So even though there have been increase in property tax, we don't get it all. It would be nice if we did, but we don't. And that really, really compounds our problem. Mr. LeGros, I think you had a comment earlier, and I didn't see you in time.
Yes, regarding Mr. Swanson's comments about the reaction of the board to the letter writing campaign. If you recall, in my board comment at the end of the meeting, I stated quite emphatically that I was very pleased with the outcome of the letter writing campaign and explained my reasons why I was pleased. The dissatisfaction I had not to do with the letter writing campaign, but to the nature of which the results of that campaign were presented to the board, which was really, what upset me was the fact that it was a perfect opportunity to mend bridges, but the way it was presented was as an attack on the board, that we did not care. Please stop talking while I'm addressing you. Thank you. Now, I'd like to state again that I am very pleased with the results of the letter writing campaign. And I hope you have more success in the letter writing campaign. But please do not use it as an opportunity to berate this board for what you see as a lack of compassion, because the fact of the matter is that this board over the years has done a great deal in terms of acquiring funds for this community. In fact, the recent government grant that was given by the federal government was the result of over 3.5 years of very, very hard work on behalf of this, on part of this board and the staff. So I know, Mr. Swanson, that you're frustrated, but please don't take it out on us in that regard.
Director Freiler.
And Keith, I'm not going to pick on you either. I'm just going to talk to you. I didn't criticize your intent. On the same hand, I think it's unrealistic that the board or the directors would immediately embrace your intentions on the letter writing campaign. I think they're two separate issues there. And if you could see the difference, I think that would lessen your frustrations. As far as being surprised that we may have seawater intrusion, I'm not surprised at all. In fact, it's a fact. And if you want to find out about that, I would suggest you go to the Cal City office and ask them about seawater intrusion on their westernly wells, and ask for their...
Patrick Zekeli of the Los Osos Coast Station. And the couple things I wanted to mention, first of all, there's been a lot of identity theft reports we've been taking where people have had their access numbers or their credit card accounts have been used by somebody else. I advised everybody, please keep an eye on your accounts, your credit cards, and all your accounts and who you give your numbers to, because it's an expensive thing and it's very difficult to track, and a lot of people are getting hurt that way. The other issue I wanted to talk about was at the Elephant Forest, we've had some vandalism. They're doing some rehabilitation on the trails there, and people have been knocking down the barriers to keep them out. I don't know why, if they just want to use the trails, if they're upset with the rehabilitation or what. If anybody sees any of this activity, please give us a call at 781-4550. That's our dispatch number, and we'll have a deputy come look at it. Another issue was the Elfin Forest signs, which are located on the opposite side of these street signs. I guess it's caused some confusion with people in the neighborhood, and some people have modified the signs or covered them up. At the LOCAC meetings, that was brought up, and Public Works said that they are working on getting different colored signs so it won't confuse people. And it is kind of confusing because you think there's Elfin Forest Street everywhere in Los Osos, at least on that end of the world. So that's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Report from District Legal Counsel, Mr. Seitz.
Yes, Mr. President, tonight John is not here. And in my earlier comments to one of the public speakers, I thought to myself that sometimes I criticize John for saying three words where one might do. And John has never seen a file that he didn't like to bring here to these meetings. I'm poking a little bit of fun at John. He's away at a family emergency, and that's why he's not here tonight and why I am. I would like to supplement, if you would allow me, my comments to the earlier discussion. Basically, the two lawsuits that you were bringing up earlier in terms of Cal Cities versus Regional Water Quality Control Board and the LOCSD versus Cal Cities are in some ways interrelated. If you take a broad view of what Cal Cities is seeking to do, the original RWQCB order for the district or for this area seeks to clean up the upper groundwater basin of the nitrate problem. The district's wastewater treatment facility is intended in part, in large part, to do just that. But Cal Cities is seeking more than that. They're seeking to have us treat it not just for the nitrate problem, but to treat it for all other problems and make it to drinking water standards that they could then harvest free for their customers. And they would like to have the wastewater customers pay for that. The district, in response, has sought a lawsuit against Cal Cities and a couple other agencies, basically to say, yeah, it eventually the upper groundwater basin may be cleaned up enough that it might look attractive as a resource for drinking water. That may take place some years in the future, but at some point it may happen. And then if it needs to be treated further, who pays for that? We don't think it should be the wastewater customers that would treat, that would pay for it at that time, but rather we think that the drinking water customers, the people who would get the benefit, and not only LOCSD customers, but the customers of those other purveyors who would then harvest, who pays for that? Cal Cities wants the wastewater customers to do it. We want the eventual people who are going to be drinking it to pay for it. And that's basically the gist of the lawsuit.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Director Bowker.
And there are Cal Cities customers who are not wastewater customers.
That's true. I mean, yeah, you're expanding. The district's intent is to expand the universe of paying customers, not to contract it to a very small, limited number who are already going to be paying for a wastewater treatment project.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz.
Mr. President, could you caution the people in the back of the room not to have their own private meeting during our meeting if they'd like to have a discussion? They may go outside and have a discussion.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Fryler. Yes, there has been a murmur from the back and tried to overlook it. But if you do have a conversation you want to carry on, just carry on outside. That would and not disrupt the meeting. Thank you. He quotes from the letter received, Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've published these in your board packet. The first is Senator Barbara Boxer. She wrote to you, Stan Gustafson, President of the Board, February 2 of this year. Dear Mr. Gustafson, thank you for taking the time to meet with Laura Simo of my staff during your trip to Washington. I was disappointed that I was unable to meet with you myself due to a scheduling conflict. I have been briefed by Laura and am very pleased that you came to our office to keep us advised on your wastewater and recycling project. Please stay in touch with us and thank you for keeping us informed. Next letter is from
Mr. Buell. Before you go to the next letter, relative to this letter, what are the senators doing and Congresswoman Capps right now? Try to put that letter into perspective.
Certainly. We spent a lot of time in our trip back to Washington in January coordinating the respective efforts not only between the two Senate offices, Congresswoman Capps and Congressman Bill Thomas. I think we were somewhat successful. We developed a strategy where Congresswoman Capps is going to introduce an appropriations request for $5 million in STAG, that State and Tribal Assistance Grant Program, funding, and she will push that through the House with support from Bill Thomas. Both Senator Feinstein and Boxer, will observe that from their side. In regard to the two Senate offices, they have both agreed to introduce in their priority list an amendment to WRDA, the Water Resources Development Act. There was a WRDA bill that made it through the House side last year that did not include Los Osos, and so it's incumbent upon Senators Feinstein and Boxer, if we're to get a subsequent authorization in WRDA, and you've got to go through the hoops to get to the appropriations, they've got to carry that ball. And if it does get to the conference committee, with the district in WRDA this year, and we expect it to move this year, then Congresswoman Capps and Senator...
To be recognized as a federally appropriated project, in other words, a federal project, is that we're no longer a new start. And, in fact, in a meeting with our lobbyist, did not he indicate that the fact that we would be a federal federal project will have some usefulness to us on the Werder bill, even though it's not in the Stag bill. And so that means that just becoming a federally appropriated project is very important, whether it's in that particular bill or the Werder bill. Thank you, Mr. Buell.
Mr. President, the next letter is also published in your board packet. It's from Daryl Pohemus. He is the chief of the project development section of the Division of Financial Assistance of the State Water Resources Control Board. He is writing to Mike Riley, who is the chair of the California Coastal Commission. It says, Dear Chairman Riley and Commissioners, the purpose of this letter is to inform the California Coastal Commission of the State Resources Control Board's commitment to provide financial assistance to the district's project in the amount of $65.4 million through the State Revolving Fund Loan Program. The approved State Revolving Fund Loan commitment requires that funding for this project be withdrawn if the district does not issue the notice to proceed to construct the project by June 28, 2004.
I had a question several years ago about the effect. It's not just the amount of the $65.4 million in terms of low cost fund. There would have to be a corresponding bond that would have to which would be a higher interest rate that would cost approximately $30 million over the life of the the bond, in terms of additional financing costs. But there's also a cost that was brought to my attention from a member of Congresswoman Capp's office that if, in fact, we were to lose the State Revolving Fund loan, you also lose the possibility of having a portion of that loan forgiven. Now, even though it's a loan that needs to be repaid, 80% of that loan is federal money, the other 20% is state money. The U.S. Congress has the ability to forgive all or part of that loan, the federal portion. And in fact, there have been loans that were made to certain projects in the northeast part of this country that have been forgiven either all or in part. We're trying to find out some more specifics on that, but we know that to be a fact. That is also a thing that we wind up giving up if, in fact, we miss out on this loan. This is a very serious, serious question. So delays are, at this point, it's very serious, and it may mean a lot of money and the ability to bring this cost way down. Do you have anything more, Mr. Buell? Okay, the next item would be responses to letters from the editor, Mr. Buell.
I didn't find any to publish this month.
Okay. See monthly update from district engineer, Mr. Miller.
Sorry about that, Mike. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, staff, and the public. Just numbers from them in the coming weeks. Perhaps in the next 3-4 weeks, we'll have some numbers to share with the community in terms of their cost to process our material. We've also been working with the utilities manager on some of the FEMA issues that come up later on your agenda. Might get an opportunity to talk about those at that time. And then we're assisting the district in reviewing Montgomery Watson's final scope of work for construction management services for the next phase of the project. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mm-hmm. The staff response to the Los Osos Technical Task Force, was Mr. John Seitz going to give that?
Yes, and he's not here because of his family emergency, Mr. President.
Will we have that at the next meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. Request for community to respect cultural resources. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've been asked by the most likely descendants to make a couple of comments regarding Chumash values. The most likely descendants have asked the community to understand that all artifacts and human remains are sacred and need to be respected. They ask that the upcoming sampling program be allowed to proceed without disrespect to Chumash values. They ask that no unauthorized individuals remove or tamper with any artifact, and they ask that or assure that they will guide the sampling and will make decisions that respect Chumash values.
Thank you. Receive update on legislation introduced by Assemblymember Maldonado. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the board packet is a copy of the bill introduced by Abel Maldonado. It's Assembly Bill 2506, and it would amend the government code to provide for the septic system management program proposed by your board. It is a bill that is specific to Los Osos. It would create a new section of the government code, 61,600.35, and it would outline the powers and authorities of the district to develop and implement the septic system management program for the portion of the community that's outside of the collected area. This bill will work its way through the legislature. It is a non-fiscal bill. There is no downside to the state budget to adopt this bill, nor does it impose a state mandate since it is requested by the district. The first committee of origin will be the local government committee, and we expect that the hearings on this bill will take place in May.
Mr. Buell, I wonder if you could explain why it's necessary that we have this.
Well, first, this is a requirement of the state Regional Water Quality Control Board for the district to implement a septic system management program for those properties outside of the collected area. Even though the state has made a determination, we do not have the legal authority to proceed. So we worked through the bill. We went through a very public process. Your board proposed a bill. It was vetted by Ledge Council, and the bill that was introduced by Assemblymember Maldonado is a mirror image, a direct one, word-for-word copy of what you requested, which was approved by Ledge Council, and now it will go through the process.
Thank you. We have a preview of the spring community cleanup event. Mr. Boykin.
Good evening, Mr. President, board, staff, audience that's here, and viewers at home. Sam Boykin, Solid Waste Coordinator for CSD. We're approaching our first event for this year, the community cleanup. Again, ask for the community to volunteer 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, half day, all day. At this time, we do have all the directors, and one director's husband is volunteering to work. We definitely need your help. Now, again, we have changed the entrance to our drive-off point. We ask you to come send an ass to Fairchild Way and exit onto Los Olivas Avenue. Again, we do need volunteers. You can call me directly at 528-9435 to volunteer. If you need a pickup, need to call me by April 21, no later than 5 p.m., in order to get on the pickup list. I need time because I need to make cards to give out to the volunteer drivers to pick these items up. Also, at the same time, prior to the community cleanup, Mission Country is having a cleanup week that would occur on the day of your pickup. If you either be picked up on Mondays, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, you need to call Mission Country by April 2nd I don't apply, say, by 5 p.m., but you need to call them by 4 p.m. because they close the office at 4 p.m. in order to get on the pickup. Now, if you have a refrigerator that you want them to pick it up, it will cost you like $5 per item. Example, wood chest, box fan, end table, et cetera. That will cost you $5 per item. And this will considerably help us because last year, I just want to point out last year, what we had to do in order to make this a success, that I had to call Mission Country to get help.
Thank you, Mr. Boykin.
Thank you.
Now we'll move on to the consent calendar. And before I take public comment on the consent calendar, does any director want to have an item pulled off of the consent calendar? Okay. We'll open it up for the public, and you can comment on any administrative report, committee report, or any of the consent calendar items.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I'd like to address item C, the oral administrative report, where Mr. Buell read a paragraph from the State Water Resources Control Board, and the man's name is Darren Polhemus. He's the chief of the Division of Financial Assistance. Mr. Buell did not read the following paragraph. He only read pretty much the first paragraph. And I'd like to follow that up and say, to comply with this requirement, the district has committed to issue the NTP, the notice to proceed, by June 28, 2004. Any further delays in securing construction permits, such as the appeal of the Coastal Development Plan permit, would force the district to extend the issuance of the NTP for construction of the project. If the district fails to issue the NTP as required by the SRF loan commitment, funding for the project would be withdrawn and another re-loan commitment would have to be requested from the state revolving State Water Resources Control Board. At this time, the SWRCB has indefinitely suspended any SRF loan commitments due to the low funding availability in the SRF loan program. Because of this, there is no guarantee that the district can secure a recommitment of SRF funds. There's no guarantee that you couldn't either. I spoke to Mr. Polhemus. What a very genuine, nice man. And he took a great time with me explaining how we would or wouldn't lose the loan. We might lose the commitment if you don't issue your notice to proceed. I would like a definition of a notice to proceed. He explained that his staff and he could approve a 90-day extension if you don't have your notice to proceed, and that if necessary, he would take a request from your board to his board, and it's a process to lose the loan or to retain the loan commitment or get another commitment. This one would expire. Also in this board packet is an attachment to this letter. This letter was requested by the regional board. They asked that State Revolving Fund write a letter to the Coastal Commission explaining this. And in it, there are following...
Try to get a commitment again when we have one right now. Too much is at stake that I think we've... To put at stake a $65 million plus loan at low interest rate, approximately 2.5%, versus bond financing at over 5%. Mr. Buell has shown that it adds about $30 million to the finance cost of the project. And as I mentioned earlier, it also would then take us away from the possibility of maybe having part or all of it forgiven at some later time. Because if we don't have a state revolving fund loan, we just have bond money, then we're still looking just for grant money. And that is a very serious thing to supplant that because of a delay with the no guarantee of even being able to get the low interest loan. That is the risk I just don't want to take myself. Director Freiler.
Yes, I'd like to direct this to Mike Seitz or to Bruce Buell. It says here, let's see, delays in securing construction permits, such as an appeal to the coastal development plan permit, would force the district to extend the issuance. Now, can the district extend the issuance, or is that...
Of the notice to proceed. It is the district that issues the notice to proceed.
Not the loan.
And the notice to proceed is the trigger to preserving the loan.
Notice to proceed construction.
It says it would, if we have a problem with appeal, the district would be forced to extend the issuance.
Of the NTP.
Right. And then the next sentence, it says if the district fails to issue, then the funding would be withdrawn.
Yes, sir. That's pretty scary.
So it says exactly what it says. If we can't extend, if we can't issue the NTPs, then we're going to be non-compliance, and it can be withdrawn. It will be withdrawn. It would be withdrawn.
It further says that the State Water Resources Control Board has indefinitely suspended any new loan commitments due to the low funding availability in the state revolving loan program. When I was in Sacramento last week, they told me that there is a horrendous line of people that are clawing to get this money. We don't want to go there.
Mr. Buell, would you explain what notice to proceed is?
That is the legal document that triggers the start of construction by the contractors. You will be going through a bid process where you will get bids from contractors. You will select the lowest responsive and responsible bid and negotiate an agreement with that contractor. The agreement is triggered. They won't actually start their work until your board issues this notice to proceed. It is a legal document that tells the contractor they're under contract, and that they are ordered to start work.
Did the person that had the question regarding what item does it apply to?
I'm running through this whole calendar here. There's a number of items on here.
Well, did you have a particular
committee
item?
Reports, all that. Okay, groundwater TAC, wastewater. I mean, come on, Stan. I mean, you gave a soliloquy on affordability just now.
This, Al, we're talking about the consent calendar or the oral administrative reports, and if you have a specific one or the...
You're not talking about
or the written
what happened...
Reports.
Everything before the consent calendar?
No.
That isn't included in this at all?
No, not everything.
I beg your pardon?
We're talking about the administrative and the committee reports.
You don't have the committee reports included in here? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. Specifically, what item are you talking about?
Well, I just told you. J, F, just the name two. Okay, and that'll be enough for my comments. And again, the groundwater TAC was going to provide us with a safe basin yield because we're going to blend the water, okay? You're not going to be able to do that because there's so many contaminants. You have a lawsuit against Cal Cities. Cal Cities have a lawsuit against you. We got a water war going on here in addition to the sewer war, which just started. And I can tell you, you have 1,700 DUEs that you charge $3,500 a piece. And if you don't provide them with safe drinking water, you're up the creek for $6 million. And that's how much 17 times 3,500 cost. $5,900,000. And I understand that you have very little money in your coffers right now. Your $3 million you have left on the assessment would not cover that debt. You cannot prove to anybody in this town that you can provide a safe basin yield of clean drinking water for those people when they ask for their will serve permits. And I think that's a basic fallacy in the water, in the groundwater TAC committee's program. And that's, you mentioned that Cal Cities, and you can rebut me after I finish talking, Frank.
I will, though.
Cal Cities disagreed with you guys at the TAC because you couldn't get on the same page with them, and they were forced with a lawsuit. That's their point of view. I heard your point of view. The other issue is on the wastewater project. If we had a more affordable, more environmentally friendly one, we could do it a lot cheaper. Nelson Environmental would give us grant money from the Canadian government, and they had, and they submitted a complete project, an alternative to this, in addition to Dana Ripley's, and also AIW, a subsidiary of that company also has a financial program. This is not desperation time at all.
I'm going to add a minute because we took a minute away, so you've got another minute.
I got another minute.
You have another minute.
Thank you, Frank. I'm on record for 4 minutes.
Well, you're using it up now, so.
Thank you. Okay. I think the Environmental Review Committee, I don't know why they're not talking about sludge, you know, huge increase in sludge by this project. A huge increase in energy used by this project. Energy costs are going up. Natural gas is going out the window, and it's going to get more expensive to run a high-energy operation. I really think that the technical
groundwater TAC report, because we haven't met in 4 or 5 months. So I don't know how Mr. Barrows can talk about the groundwater TAC report if there's nothing there. And I think it should be a point of order that if you're not going to comment on something that is part of the administrative or committee reports or the consent agenda, you're out of order. Now, what is our policy?
Well, the question, I guess we can call it the penumbra doctrine, that if you get anywhere close to an item, you know, the public has their right to the 3 minutes, even though we've heard some of these arguments more than a few times. And, of course, at the same time, we get to respond to them more than a few times. And it is up to the chair to make that decision. Thank you, Director Freiler. I would like to have some clarification, though. There were some statements made. One I'd like to have addressed, energy costs going up. I think compared to the plan that was presented by one of the opponents, it's just the reverse. In fact, ours is a lot more energy friendly than that was. And also talk to blending, because blending is not part of our plan. I know it's a last resort. Mr. Buell, would you please comment on those two items?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, and I think Rob Biller had some extended discussions with Dana Ripley about the energy costs that would be required to pump out to their proposed site and pump back. I think what you've tried to do in your project is to select the most cost-effective location for minimizing pumping costs, and that was borne out in the environmental review. You've also eliminated the aerobic digestion of the sludge. That'll save dramatic energy cost and still allow the community to get the exceptional quality biosolids through the composting process. I think your board has been very responsive in trying to lower energy cost. The one decision you did make was to go to a membrane bioreactor, which is a membrane process that does produce an excellent water quality. So there are trade-offs in everything we're doing, but that trade-off looked like a good decision in terms of eliminating a tremendous capital investment in the size of your treatment works, the requirement for secondary clarifiers and sand filtration. So that's those are all trade-offs, but I believe it was a good decision. The second issue, Mr. President, was?
The blending.
Okay. We went through this in your addendum, and you have lined out four options that do not require blending. We have added
from that meeting. Why isn't it in there? The other thing is the groundwater tech, number J, is on the agenda. If you don't have a report and haven't met, take it off the agenda, and then we won't talk about it. At the emergency services meeting on Tuesday, I had some concerns about their workings with CDF. And I believe I remember Chief Pickens telling us in the past at a meeting, I'm going over the tapes now, that Chief Turner helped us write the level of service. He claims at the meeting that he didn't. So my question is, what's Chief Turner doing at the department all these different days I've seen his truck parked out there? I know it's been talked about at these meetings. Once this became a bid process, all contact like that should have been stopped with CDF. We need to make this fair to everybody. CDF, Morro Bay, San Luis City, whoever we decide to talk to about fire service. You know, I'm real worried about what's going on behind closed doors. I know Chief Turner had a meeting at the fire department today to talk to the reserve firefighters about getting them on board with the proposal that he's putting together. What is this about? Where's those minutes? Let's see them.
Vice President Hensley.
There's a fairly serious accusation folded in there. And to be clear, we have covered this before, and we covered it at the meeting Tuesday, directly with you. Chief Turner did not help us write our level of service description. What he has been assisting us with as we move to a bidding process is some clarity of the language so that we are speaking in the same terms that potential bidders would be speaking, so that when we refer to the way our level of service operates, they understand what we're talking about. We have been seeking his advice for a long time. He is very knowledgeable about the way all of the fire services in our county operate, and he has been helping us to clarify in putting together our document so that it is readable and understandable by organizations outside of our own. And that is what he has been doing.
Thank you, Mr. Hensley.
Mr. President?
Next.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Mr. Buell.
Just a comment. The board packet for this meeting was published last Thursday. It would be physically impossible to include the minutes from Tuesday's meeting in this board packet. It can't be done. So I apologize that it won't be until the next meeting that we present those minutes, but we did not represent that they were here. What is in the listing is a listing for the February meeting that was previously distributed to your board with a prior packet.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Regarding editorials, I don't know if it's really the place or the forum to be responding to editorials. I think the editorial page is for editorials. And if the CSD wants to respond to something that they disagree with, then they write an editorial. I don't know if it should be taken up in the CSD business. Regarding the presentation of the letters, the people that participated wanted to see the final tally, and that's why the box was brought in here as evidence to the people, because they all wanted to know. That's all. Again, it wasn't something that we were trying to slam you with. Thank you.
Mr. Buell, there was a comment made. You guys are unbelievable, because the commenter thinks that we could let a multi-million dollar contract for a project, if in fact the appeal were successful, for a contract that would be placed in a different spot, perhaps, that is going to change many things to it. Mr. Swanson, you have just been warned. Do it again, and I'll ask you to leave.
That's what I said.
I know what you said. And what I'd like, Mr. Buell, I'd like you to comment on is the complexity of the contract, and if, in fact, there is an appeal and it's up in the air, what can we do in terms of letting any piece of that contract? I personally don't see how it can be done. Having been a contract attorney for 28 years, and now I'm inactive at this point, Mr. Buell?
First of all, Mr. President, a prerequisite of the state revolving fund loan is that we have secured our coastal development permit. Failing to do so, we are barred. We cannot issue the notice to proceed without what the state calls approval to award. The state issues that, and the state issues that only if we have complied with all of their requirements. So if we don't have a coastal permit, we don't have a loan. The rest is moot.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Ms. Owens?
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. If you don't have a coastal permit, it's because you didn't do the work that you needed to do. We've been seeing that it's been so sloppily done up until now that, yes, we're going to bottleneck, and all the permits that haven't been gotten and haven't been followed through the way that they should have. An EIR was based on 30% design, and you've completely changed the plant. You're not going, you know, it isn't this town's fault or people that object to this monstrosity of a sewer that are causing the delay in the money in getting the state revolving fund notice to proceed moments put together. I do believe that if there is an appeal and it's beyond your resources to do anything about it, they are not going to just say that's it. We've had extensions for over 10 years of this same state revolving fund loan. It's even been jumped up. I just read how many million dollars they increased it so that we could keep meeting the cost of this sewer. So I object to some of that. I am very upset at some of the meeting notes, too. It isn't, if you're not going to have it on the agenda or in the packet, then it says public comment. The public made comments. Follow-up, not available. Who's doing the minutes for those that meeting? This is about as bad, bare bones and bad as they get, but they all need to be addressed better. If you're going to keep track of information and data that has occurred, you need someone to start taking better minutes. I would really encourage that. I think we should all go to Sacramento and fight. And I don't know when we're going to mend our division here. I mean, there are those of us who will go and who do not want the sewer, and we have the alternative sewer that we want. It's the one that we all dreamed of. When you talked about getting rid of the ponds, you didn't move the ponds outside of town. You dumped them. You went and saw Montgomery Watson, and it all started with Bruce Buell. You didn't hire the right man, and I'm very sorry for that because it has just totally divided our town up now. It's turned you into conventional sewer lovers. Thank you.
Before we move on, Mr. Buell, we've gone over it again tonight, and we've gone over it probably 35 times, and there are some individuals that don't either want to hear it or just are not happy with the answer, but could you please again give us the answer why we went from the ponding system that we started with in 1998 and wound up where we're at right now? And again, relative to what the nitrate reduction is and what's proven.
Very simply stated, Mr. President, the ponds have absolutely no track record of removing nitrates, and the reason we're doing this project is to remove nitrates. Also, I should note that what Ms. Owen spoke to as her preferred project was similarly a conventional treatment process.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Please.
Good evening to the directors and to staff. My name is Monica Hunter, and I'm a resident of Los Osos. I just wanted to follow up. In past comments, I have brought up the issue of communication and trying to clarify and understand how this project is changing and exactly how the design of the project is changing. I think I just heard one of the directors state that there will not be blending of water. I'm reading from the final, from the addendum EIR under harvest system AD use options. The expected method of handling the harvest water as described in the final EIR is to blend the upper aquifer water with lower aquifer water. The upper aquifer water is expected to be high in nitrates in the early years of operation of the harvest wells. The harvest water would be blended with lower aquifer water that is low in nitrates. The blended water would then have an acceptable nitrate concentration and could be used as part of the drinking water supply for the community. Four additional uses of harvest water have been identified to handle the additional harvest water that will be produced as discussed elsewhere and to provide the district with greater operational flexibility. So I'm coming to you again to say this is the kind of thing that is very difficult to understand. Where are we now with the design, and exactly what are those decisions, or how are those decisions?
And as Mrs. Hunter indicated, they're set forth in the addendum. Landscape irrigation, application of harvested water to effluent disposal sites, treatment of harvested water, discharge to the bay. And what your board looked at when you adopted this addendum were those four options as the primary options, with the initial description. The blending that was proposed in the final EIR, and it was modified by this addendum to set forth those four options as your primary disposal options for harvest water.
Next, please.
Marlene McQueen, Los Osos, and I'd like to speak about the grant for the wastewater. Just have a short comment. I'm just wondering, in 5 or 10 years, if we're going to be saying, gosh, we were so lucky to get that grant, no matter what our beautiful community smells like, or are we going to say, gosh, we should have really looked into that more, and even though we didn't get the grant or we postponed it somewhat, to move it out of town where we wouldn't be having this odor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Buell, perhaps the next meeting we can show the odor control PowerPoint during the first recess.
I'd be happy to do that. In addition, I did provide at the back table the hard copy of the odor control presentation.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Lisa Schicker, Los Osos. I am a member of the Los Osos Technical Task Force that was going to be on the agenda tonight, and I'll look forward to that presentation next time. I still would like to request that, if possible, we have a little bit more than just an oral reception to our request. We presented about 30 pages of information, and this three-minute blurb is probably not enough to address our concerns, so I'd still like to reiterate our request for something different or further. If it's possible, that'd be great. Just to go back to that blending thing really quick, we're just reading the report here. We brought the addendum here. Monica had it. It does say the blending, and then it says four additional uses, which Mr. Buell read. So it is kind of confusing, and that's the first one that we read is the blending. That's in the big paragraph, and then the other little paragraphs are the other four. So that's why she brought it up. I also wanted to say that I did send a letter to the CSD board and Mr. Buell on February 22nd, and it wasn't mentioned in the letters received section. And I brought up about 6 points in that letter, but one of the points was on the agenda again. The way the agenda is written, it is pretty confusing. I know you can't write the whole thing, but for those of us who work long hours, that agenda looks like you're going to have a committee report under each of those headings. And when I look at it, I'm always expecting to hear a little something on each of those things, maybe just not discussed tonight or something, so we know that topic isn't going to be discussed, because it looks like you're going to talk about each of those things a little bit. And I'd love just a couple sentences. It would really that it has been renewed before, and it has been around since the 1990s. I know this is a slightly different year, but it has been renewed before. And the state water wants us to have clean water. They don't want us to have dirty water, so I don't see why they would want to not approve our request. I just have one objection to always bringing up this $30 million expense that it's going to cost $30 million more. And yes, it would cost $30 million more if we kept it at the same place and at the same site. We are concerned on the technical task force that perhaps lawsuits the lawsuits that you're going to have to do now will also add costs in a different way. So $30 million here or $30 million there or whatever. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Mr. Chairman,
Director Tucker.
I attended quite a few meetings with Mr. Buell's State Water Resource Board staff. And one of the things that they're very concerned about is showing fiscal responsibility themselves and use of funds. And they have projects that are ready to start construction that are hurting for money. And throughout those offices, if we can't get our act together, they have other communities who have their act together that can use this very scarce money. And I think I have absolutely no confidence that we would ever see the state loan again if we were to fail to move forward with this project.
Please.
Chuck Cicinia, Los Osos resident. I want to address quickly one thing I heard earlier from Mr. Buell, and that was the fact that the EIR reflected the board's great concern that the pumping costs to a site outside of town were some overriding fiscal concern, when what should have been reflected in the EIR was Table 4.4 from your own project report, which stated that the Andre site had a lower life cycle cost than the Tri-W site. That includes everything about the project, mitigation costs, land costs, all that. Why wasn't that reflected in the EIR? And maybe the project would have been picked in the right place to start from, and we wouldn't be in this spot.
Hi, my name is John Frechet. I'm a resident here at Los Osos Board. Just one question concerning legal's discussion earlier about Cal City's lawsuit. I read that lawsuit, and I read it to what it showed me, or as I interpreted it, was that they were concerned that the nitrate levels would be increased in their wells, and that was their main concern and their main thrust of suing the district. And at least that's what I read it. And the Cleith report that came out last November, their nitrate model, that they, I think this is where Cal Cities is getting their information. I would just make that assumption. Shows that one of their harvest wells, their nitrate levels does increase. And there's a graph in the back of that document that reflects that. And I read the lawsuit and what I got.
Thrust, Mr. Seitz.
Well, part of the context of their lawsuit is what we view as a flawed assumption that the groundwater basin is a closed system, in which case, if it were a closed system, their argument might have some merit. The Cleith report that the gentleman referred to clearly establishes that it is not a closed system and that the nitrate levels will drop. The thrust of their lawsuit is to have the wastewater treatment payers, the people who would pay for the wastewater treatment, to pay for cleaning the wastewater to drinking water standards. That's what they're asking for in the lawsuit. Okay, and it's based upon that false assumption that it is a closed system as opposed to a system that is open and will allow the nitrates to go to drop. If you review the Cleith report, it establishes that it is a open system. In other words, nitrates will drop.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Mr. Payne.
Good evening again, Mr. President, board and staff and public. My name is Bruce Payne. I'm a resident of Los Osos. This fiscal responsibility and the cost of this project is just driving me wild. I understand the state revolving fund is like $64 million, and we've already borrowed $18 million. I'm sorry, we sold bonds worth $18 million. So we're up to $83 or $84 million, somewhere in there. And this project looks like it's going to cost close to $100 million. I may be wrong there. But the point is that the easiest way to make money on something like this is to save it. And instead of going out and begging for grants, go for a project that's a lot less expensive. It didn't have to be this way. There are technologies available, which I don't understand why they call this extended aeration, the project that you're talking about, and they still end up with unclassified sludge. There's a process that PWI does that they recycle their sludge right back through their aeration process, which is a more efficient aeration process than what we're running here, and they create a lot less sludge. They can bring the nitrates down to approximately 5 parts per million. I understand from the wastewater disposal model that the geologists showed us at the fire department was looking at only dropping the nitrates 2 points per million below the 10-part limit, Title 22. The other thing that those geologists showed us was that the nitrates from Cabrillo Estates 35 years from now will still be going towards the bay, and I think that's a problem that should be addressed. And it should have been addressed when the Wastewater Quality Control Board established a moratorium zone, but I don't.
And I'd like to know how much is it costing us for such information, because the numbers on the right-hand side didn't add up, and they conflict with the number on the left-hand side. And if we can't get the minor numbers straight at these information, how are we going to rely on the board to handle the major information numbers, such as AB 706. And I still can't understand why you wouldn't want the Finance Committee's input before you have another go-around with AB 706. It would only be a 2-week postponement, so I think it would behoove you to have the Finance Committee take a look at AB 706. And thank you.
Mr. Tekash.
James Tekash, Los Osos. As long as the agenda is an item of discussion tonight, and I'll throw my 2 cents in. On the future agenda item description for the next meetings of the board, I think it would be helpful if the topic...
Excuse me, Mr. Tekash. This is only on the oral administrative reports.
I'm sorry.
And the consent calendar.
Okay.
And on the written committee reports.
Will there be an opportunity to address that topic tonight, or
no? There won't be any in terms of agenda and scheduling.
Yes.
No, there won't be anything. Is there?
Okay, I'll save it for public comment in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Or see us after the meeting.
That's okay. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vivian McNeil, Los Osos. Mr. President, members of the board, I've been listening to the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, with the exception of Mr. Cash, 7 speakers. And they did not reference what part of the administrative and committee reports or the consent agenda that they were addressing. And I had difficulty in trying to figure out where they were. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Okay, bringing it back to the board on the consent calendar. We have a motion.
So moved.
Well, public comment? Well, you needed to have pulled the item.
Well, my mistake then. Just leave it as it is. Then.
Okay.
Well, you can have some discussion.
Okay. What? Oh, please, and go ahead and say what it is. What word do you want pulled out?
In regards to public comments, the board minutes of the last meeting. On director's comments and the comments that I made, take out the word not.
I'll entertain a motion to.
You have,
oh, I have a motion with the change.
The edit.
With the edit.
Quick. I am pleased to announce that we're working closely with FEMA and Office of Emergency Services. We have already submitted all of the paperwork to cover the minor cost of repairing the interior wall to the fire station, and we will be proceeding with that work as soon as we get our reimbursement. We expect that that reimbursement will cover 100% of our cost to grout the base of the wall and then to replaster and recoat the sections that were repaired. In regard to your district water systems, and the district engineer is here to assist us in that discussion, the two unanchored tanks, the north tank at 16th Street and the 10th Street tank, both suffered some damage. What's interesting is that the anchored tank, the structurally competent tank on the south end of the 16th Street tank farm, did not. And that goes to support the need for properly engineered facilities. The large tank, the north tank on the 16th Street farm, because it was unanchored and it sits on a gravel bed, literally moved back and forth on that gravel bed, and it wasn't constrained like the south tank was. We are in the process of lowering the water level. We need another 3 days of community use to get the tank to a level where it can be cleaned and have our final inspection. We're required to submit our final request to FEMA for either repair or replacement of that tank by March 30. As soon as we can get the water level down, we'll get our structural engineer to render an opinion. It may be possible to repair the tank in place. We may have to demolish the tank and start over. In either case, there is no danger to the residents next to the tank. It will not fail in the immediate future, especially with the drawn down state. When we applied to FEMA, they have encouraged us to include provisions for retrofitting the chairs, the anchors that will provide future structural stability, whether we're repairing on-site or replacing in kind. In regard to the 10th Street tank, the dive, the initial dive with the tank full by the structural engineer showed some failing of the coating at the base of the perimeter. It doesn't appear to be as serious as the situation we have at the 16th Street tank, but nevertheless, we will get an opinion on the repair of that tank as well and a cost estimate. As I mentioned, we have through
16th Street tank, we may have to repair, replace. FEMA is funding that, all of it, or this is the 93%?
The 93%. They funded 100% of the emergency work, the initial dive, and the overtime to analyze and investigate the problem. What we're doing now, the actual remediation investigation, is part of the 93% reimbursement.
Thank you.
Any additional board comment? Public comment?
Steve Sawyer, Los Osos. In regards to the FEMA money that was awarded for the repair of the fire station, I'm thankfully it was relatively minor. But at the Tuesday Emergency Services Committee meeting, Chief Pickens made the statement that any money that's not spent out of the, I believe it was $2,800 awarded for that, any money that wasn't spent out of that, the fire department or CSD gets to keep from that money that's awarded. That doesn't seem like that works that way, but could you just reiterate that? I just want to make sure that is the case. And secondly, when something like that comes up and we're awarded money like that, does the CSD charge 14% management fee? So are they going to get 14% of that $2,800? That's what I'm wondering. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Buell, relative to the FEMA, how they award and if they expect to get any money back, if not all of it's spent, or you do an in-kind labor on a project.
No, they will actually issue a check to us, and it's up to us to implement the repairs. We are compelled to implement the repairs, but there is no reimbursement back to FEMA or to the district's general fund.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, just briefly, the 10th Street well is designed, I mean, it will be moved up to a different location, and is there any date when that is planned for? And we wouldn't replace an entire tank and then dispose of it and move it up and put a bigger tank up the hill, would we? Tell me we wouldn't. And then secondly, if the fire department or the fire station had a earthquake damage, what does that say to you about putting a sewer plant down below on the same fault area? Much bigger area, much bigger building?
Two questions. One is the 10th Street tank. You might start out with how old the 10th Street tank is and then what we're going to do with it. And, I mean, I think the questioner shared some comments relative to seismic concern.
Mr. President, the 10th Street tank is about 30 years old. It's approaching the end of its useful life. The proposal is to take it out of service, but we still haven't gotten the State Infrastructure Bank loan, nor have we done the final design on the replacement facility. So it'll be a...
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Mr. Barrow.
Al Barrow here. All bets are off in the big quake. Big quake, liquefaction. Sewer site in a drainage area. Liquefaction. There'd be so much weight in that sewer plant. You're talking about...
Point of order, Mr. President. This is not the agenda item we're discussing. We're discussing the problems with the tank and the wall of the fire department.
Okay.
So liquefaction is not part of our discussion right now.
I have
now
to throw you out because you made a point of order interruption.
No, and Director Freiler is right. So, Mr. Barrow, please continue without
let's
commenting on that.
Go to the tanks. And I thought that it's still all bets are off, Frank. You know, I mean, if you have a big earthquake, there's a lot of water up in those tanks. That's my first point. And I believe sincerely that there was a lot of damage because of there was water in the tanks and because there was an earthquake. And you say the base was not secured. But, you know, I mean, I've seen swimming pools that just throw out water. Just throw it out, you know, and they're pretty solidly put in there. Anyway, I think the point I really wanted to make is with the difficulty with the water storage tanks, you have a difficulty with water pressure. And we've had a history of poor water pressure, not only because of the tanks and the height of the tanks, but because of the leaking in the water system, the pipes, the old pipes that are that's part of the infrastructure to be replaced.
May I make a point of order again? Al, we're not talking about the distribution system and the leaking. We're talking about earthquake damage from the San Simeon quake on the two tanks and the one wall.
Now, let me explain it to you again,
if you'd like
Frank,
to address
it's
that,
hard for you to
I'll
understand.
Be happy to listen to you.
Director Fryer. Yeah. Mr. Barrow. Director Fryer is right. The agenda item relates to those two tanks, and specifically the FEMA process relative to those specific items, not some other concerns we might have relative to seismic events.
Well, it just points out the fact that without the tanks properly functioning, you won't have a water system with pressure, and what you need is some kind of pump system to increase the pressure in the system. And when's that going to happen? Safety for fire, for one, so your house gets on fire and it gets put out? Okay?
Mr. Buell, is there any danger in terms of not being able to have water to be able for the fire department to be able to put out fires at this point?
No. What happens with our pressure system is that either tank can supply the pressure. That's in the gravity system. We also have a hydropneumatic system, which is a pressure system Mr. Barrow was addressing. If this were August, we might have a concern because that's when you have more dramatic diurnal swings in consumption. This is the low consumption portion of the year with nominal draw, and we believe we're going to be able to get this investigated.
Alluding to the fact that both tanks, 16th Street, would likely need replacing, and that 10th Street was an iffy thing, well, that's how I recall it, and unfortunately, there are no minutes in the packet for me to refresh my memory. But my concern, and I asked him that day, and I had hoped that maybe I could get a different answer or a clearer picture of what happens to the water that's in the tank when you do draw it down. Only so much of it can be used by your customers, but that water has chemicals in it to keep it fresh and... it doesn't. Then maybe Mr. Freiler can present a report of what happens to the water that's in the tanks. I understand that the 16th Street tank is right around 400,000 gallons, and that's wrong too. Well, I would like a better presentation on what will happen with the water and how much water there is, where it goes, and if it is a source of pollution. And I would like to know if it's a commodity, then can it be sold down till the tank is empty? I think that is a valid question, and editorializing with head nodding is inappropriate. Thank you very much.
Mr. Buell.
I'd like to read from the minutes that are in the packet, Mr. President.
Please.
This is from the Water Utilities Committee meeting of February 17th, 2004. This is item 5A, January 2004 summary report. Buell provided a summary of strategic plan objectives. He pointed out that the 16th Street tank north had more than a minor leak as reported. There will be major repair and or replacement work to be done. Buell described discussions with FEMA, noting that we have satisfied their submittal deadline. FEMA wants both the 16th North and 16th Street and the 10th Street tanks to be emptied and reevaluated for damage. So they're in the minutes, as I described, the north tank only. I never, ever said that the south tank experienced any damage. It did not.
And what happens to the water, Mr. Buell?
We are drawing it down, as I mentioned earlier. We're using it as the customers need it to satisfy demand.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Any further public comment on this item? Bringing it back to the board. Any board comment? Then we'll just receive the reports. Go on to item 13. Select the staffing model for a future organization of wastewater function. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've placed extra copies of this staff note on the back in case the audience wants to join with us. This dialogue has been going on since last September, September 8th, February 24th special meeting. It's my opinion that Model B is the superior model. I believe that the wastewater functions in this district will be a very high-profile activity. I think that you want this individual supervised by your general manager, and you want that individual to be at the highest level so he or she is visible to both the board and the community. I'm also recommending Model B because for the next 18 months, it's my belief that this individual can best spend his or her time observing the construction of the treatment facility. I believe that that should be the primary responsibility, and I don't believe it's possible for the utility manager to do that work. So I would recommend Model B. I'm asking your board to provide direction this evening because it will affect the advertisement, the job description I bring back to you at your next board meeting so that we can proceed with recruitment for whichever model you want to implement.
Do we have any board questions? Director Fryler?
As the chairperson of the utilities department and the wastewater committee, I would really like this to go to those two committees for comparison, discussion, and recommendation. Now, I don't think we've done that. I think we had the wastewater committee and the board at a joint meeting last time, but it didn't offer a very great opportunity for dialogue within the wastewater committee. So that would be my opening request. Carrying on Model B, I am a little concerned for the general manager in having direct response to the wastewater superintendent. Now, I know you, Bruce, have experience in plant management and understanding, and the whole process here has given you incredible depth, but someday there's going to be another general manager, and he may not have that.
I hope.
Yeah. So I'm wondering whether we want to make a structure that does not consider that likelihood. So that's I think, an important part on B, consistency of the definition of terms. Otherwise, you have superintendents, below managers, and I just see kind of a hodgepodge of an organizational structure. So those would be my three comments, and I, again, would request that the Utility Committee and the Wastewater Committee have an opportunity to weigh in and make certain comments and recommendations that would come back to the board from your committee members.
Director Bowker.
Do you have a comment?
Director Bowker.
Yes. Did you have a comment? I said Director Bowker.
Okay. We're always getting told that I have a problem with seeing how there's any gain in efficiency in Model A. I see a utility manager, the wastewater, having wastewater report to the utility manager to then go to the general manager. The organizational structure in B is so much cleaner, and you can see who's responsible for what. The wastewater superintendent, the utilities manager right now is busy, and I don't see what's to be gained by having the wastewater personnel all report through the utility manager to the general manager. In terms of not finding a general manager that has the experience that Mr. Buell has, well, that's the job of the board that goes through a job search for another general manager. And I don't think it's unusual to find either a city manager or another special district manager who has responsibilities for both a water system and a wastewater system. So I would be, and again, the function of the general manager is organizational structure, strategic planning, the budgetary process. The general manager doesn't go out and run the wastewater plant. So the reporting structure and the organizational structure, while I can agree maybe there's a necessary understanding of the definition of terms, and I'm not sure if wastewater superintendent is a classification that you have out there in the industry versus using the term wastewater manager, it would seem easier, you know, we have a fire chief, we don't have a fire department manager. So I think perhaps having the board understand what each of these people do or their level of responsibility might help. We have, for all our other positions that already exist, we've got job descriptions and we can go look it up and find out what it is that they do. So we've got the title before we've got the job description this time around, which makes it a little more difficult to understand.
And I can bring you job descriptions. That's not a problem. Actually, Grover provided a bunch of them. And I apologize. What I was trying to do is to get the organization straight so I could bring you an appropriate job description.
Any other committee comment at this time? Public comment?
Words. It's a very complicated thing because actually most towns are built, the sewer infrastructure goes in first. And I learned that when I was 15 years old. So you're going to have a lot of problems, and it would be really good to have the expert in wastewater, the experts in collection, and the treatment plant on equal footing. I don't know. I don't think I like either model. Thank you.
Any further public comment?
Julie Tacker, thank you, Director Freiler, for your input. I think your comments are very good. I wondered, and I didn't see a position, and I don't know what you would call it, because it looks like the names, you don't like some of the names. The administrator of assistance funds. Somebody has to manage the AB 706, the Community Development Block Grant, the Low Income Assistance Fund. As monies come in and monies go out and things are loaned and things are repaid, who is that person in this schematic and where do they fall in? Thank you.
Mr. Bill.
When we're into operation, and both org charts reflect the operations mode, that individual would be the accounts receivable clerk. At that point, point, it is a bookkeeping activity, receiving and dispersing. The heavy lifting will have already been done.
Thank you. Any further public comment? I'll bring it back to the board. Board comments on this. I think the Director Freiler has already raised a question as to whether it should go back to both the utility and the wastewater committees. And then I'd like some comments as to whether you for A or B, like Director Bowker has already commented. So we have any board comment?
What's our time situation that we wouldn't send it back to wastewater and utilities committee to look at?
I don't expect you're going to have a wastewater committee meeting until late April. I would like authority to recruit following your March 18th meeting.
Could wastewater call a special meeting or something?
It could, but I got to tell you, we're busting guts at staff level trying to keep your special meetings going.
Okay. I'd be willing to support sending it back to the committee if we had time to do it. Other than that, I am kind of leaning toward Model B.
Any additional? Director LaGrow? I'd be coming on with the and having approximately 18 months to oversee what's going on with the project and be intimately familiar with it. You need somebody of the, you know, a higher level to be able to do that. And I think the point is well taken that we do have utilities problems to solve, namely through the water master plan that is going to keep the utilities manager very busy. So I would certainly prefer Model B. And I think while it might be a good thing to send it back to the committees, I think we have a time problem. And I think this board is able to make a determination in terms of overall structure, which is what this is, and as it relates to the various large projects that we have going. So even though I agree with Vice President Hensley, I think it's something that we need to move forward with. Director Bowker, please.
Well, I also, we have our committees as technical advisory committees. This is a policy issue. And I feel that we have to bite the bullet and decide what policy we're going to establish to provide the guidance to staff so they can turn around and do the necessary recruitment. And I think the job definitions is where the committees are going to come and play a more important role, because they would review the qualifications that we want to see of this person, and they can provide the technical input for that and what will be the responsibilities of that individual. We're not attempting to define a job. We're just saying where we want to see that person in the organizational structure. So if Director Freiler wants to make a motion and send it back to committee, and if the board supports it, then that's how it would go. But I believe that it's our responsibility to make that policy decision.
Do I hear a motion?
I wish to make the motion at this time that we adopt Structure B.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have some discussion.
We have a motion to second?
Yeah, we made a motion to second. I'd like to discuss.
Director Freiler.
I, again, am a little disillusioned at just the titles. I think we have a utilities manager, but he's really not managing the utilities anymore. He's managing the water resources. So should we call that water resource manager? I mean, I'm just trying to keep this, you know, that we deal with this all the time, but if someone comes in the office and says, let's see the structure, and they try and understand the wording that is not very fundamentally descriptive, it could be better. So then you'd have a whole column of water resource stuff. You have a whole column of wastewater stuff, and it would seem to be more amenable to myself.
Director Bowker.
But the utility manager right now is doing, will continue to do the on-site wastewater systems at Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro, and is responsible for drainage.
You can agree or disagree. That's fine. I'm just making an observation.
I actually agree with Frank that the titles need a little more clarity. But what we're really talking about today is the top of the chart. And we might make the recommendation that staff provide a little more clarity in the details of the chart.
Yeah, that I would support that.
Yeah, and I don't think that needs to be part of the motion, but I think Mr. Buell understands that, so he's got that direction. So we have a motion and a second on the floor as to accepting Model B. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no. Hearing no opposition, Model B will be the structure.
You're right. Those are fuzzy.
Okay, item 14.
Mr. President, this is a request from staff to reschedule the special meeting you previously set for April 21. Fundamentally, we cannot open bids until April 28th at this point, and that is the whole idea of the town hall meeting was to convert those bids into the cost, the rates and charges to the various classes of customers. We're recommending that you reschedule your town hall meeting to Wednesday, May 12. We believe that would give us time to interpret the bids. I know Rob Miller in particular was extremely concerned with the tight turnaround between the April 14 to the April 21 session. One of the things that we really want to be able to do is to evaluate protests and to make sure that we are confident that the numbers we present to you are realistic. So we believe that a two-week turnaround would be more appropriate, we believe that Wednesday, May 12th, would be a good date for a town hall meeting.
May 12th.
Director McGrew.
Yes, Mr. Brule. Could you please quickly explain what you mean by protest in regards to the...
There are generally two types of protest in a bid opening. Other contractors, bidders, have standing to either challenge the process or the responsiveness of the bid. Generally what happens is that the second or the third lowest bidder has a concern with the bid submitted by the low bidder. What you generally see is a question of whether or not the low bidder had any nonconformity, had any irregularity that needs to be examined.
So when you say protest, we're not dealing with public protest of the bid, it's from the contractors themselves.
Yeah, the public at large doesn't have standing to protest. It is the other bidders that have standing to protest.
Thank you.
Do we have any additional board comment?
I have a comment.
Vice President Hensley.
Water project costs, are you going to include all costs? Are you going to include the cost of the lawsuit that we just filed as a community against 500 John Doe's? Are we going to include the cost of the lawyers from Sacramento? Are we going to include the cost of Mr. Seitz and his brother? These are the costs that I'm concerned about. Are we going to, in this special meeting that we're going to do, are we going to include the new O&M costs? I'm concerned that we're not listening to the community, and we're going to have a meeting. It's only to describe to the community half the cost or partial cost. The litigation for the new lawsuit that we've just filed as a community last 2 weeks ago can possibly take years and is going to involve suing over 500 of our neighbors. These costs need to be addressed. And I'm concerned that in a special meeting that we're going to use to interpret the wastewater project costs, these won't be included. I'm concerned about the cost of personal property rights being taken away by people who've lived here for 40 years. Are those going to be interpreted in this new project cost? And lastly, I don't want to listen to the spin of Mr. Buell about the cost. I want to see actual numbers in writing, and I don't want to see this meeting keep put off. We're going in front of the Coastal Commission in April, and I would like to have seen this stuff done before that so the Coastal Commission can see the costs of this community. Thank you.
Mr. Buell, well, there are two questions coming out of this. The first question, if you could respond to the cost and the nature of what the costs are going to be and why it has to be after we award bids and why we can't award bids until we have the coastal development permit, which is what we intend to get from the Coastal Commission. So instead of putting the cart before the horse, perhaps you can explain the what's happening.
Let me speak to the sequence first, Mr. President. Bidders will want to know what the permit is and what the conditions of the permit are. You basically need that information to get accurate response from bidders, or any response for that matter. So I believe it would be impossible to get that information before the Coastal Commission hearing. It makes much more sense to delay the bid opening until you can absorb whatever the Coastal Commission does at their meeting April 14 through 16. In regard to the information we'll provide to the community, we will open bids. We will have an apparent low bidder. If we have protests, we'll evaluate the substance of the protest from the other bidders and make a recommendation to you. But we will be able to convert the bids into the funding we will need from the state revolving fund, and that will allow us to calculate for various classes of users, whether they're single-family homes, apartments, mobile homes, commercial, what their costs are going to be to repay the loan. We'll also have our operating and maintenance costs. We spent a session, a special meeting, talking about that 2 weeks ago. And we'll have our
last public comment. Is the Cal Cities, the suit that we have filed against Cal Cities, is that going to be paid out of the wastewater project?
Yes, sir, it is. And we projected cost in the interim until your operating and maintenance costs kick in, and we provided an allowance for legal costs once you're into operation.
And there was a comment about the 500 does. I know we had a more extensive response to that earlier in the meeting, and I would refer you to the tape of the meeting. No, I understand. No, but it's on the tape. So, but if Mr. Seitz would give you a quick response. No, I understand. But we're not suing 500 neighbors. So, but if Mr. Seitz will give you a quick rundown on that. Okay, that's fine. Mrs. Tanker.
First, I want to comment really quick on the action you just took on item 13. Mr. Buell's schedule is driving your decision-making process and taking away the democratic process in setting policy for your...
Excuse me.
Mrs. Tanker, we're on item 14.
I know you are.
And then...
And I will go to that now.
Well, good. You're on item 14. Okay.
You're going to have a town hall meeting. I would hope that your town hall meeting is televised. I would hope that when Mr. Buell says questions will be asked and answered, I'd like to see a place for reiteration or rebuttal. We don't get that in your normal, regular meetings. Even in committee meetings, it's hard to clarify one's point. I would like, you're going to talk about, you're going to interpret the wastewater project costs. And I've asked for it before, and I will ask again, and I hope this is the meeting where I will get my answers. I would like a line item breakdown cost of the mitigation measures to put a sewer plant in the middle of town. I want to know how much it costs to decorate it with wave walls, drainage, the drainage mitigation, the habitat mitigation, the noise, the odor control, all the costs associated with having it downtown. And those costs are what's driving the high price of a downtown sewer. And I want to really see it. No more sugarcoating. A town hall meeting needs to be a comfortable place for the community to come and ask and have their questions answered. And I have seen workshops, committee meetings, board meetings where the board is not receptive. Maybe responsive, but not.
A comment.
My name is Al Barrow. The costs of this sewer, as you have it designed, is going to be discussed. Would you mind if I speak my own mind?
Mr. Barrow.
I resent that.
Mr. Barrow, the agenda.
She's out of order.
Mr. Barrow, the agenda item is the rescheduling of the meeting.
Rescheduling the meeting. That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
You will have an opportunity to talk about costs.
I object to you, sir.
No. Talk about the rescheduling of the meeting.
That's what I'm talking about. But you know what? I don't go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know what I mean? I'm not a robot, and I'm laying my foundation to my argument. My argument is simply this, is you haven't looked at all the costs yet, all right?
Mr. Barrow, you are out of order. If you want to talk calmly and talk about the rescheduling of the meeting.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, you're talking about costs. You will have the opportunity to talk about costs on May 12th. That's what the meeting's going to be all about. Talk about the rescheduling of the meeting.
You're an insult to my intelligence, sir.
Okay, Mr. Barrow, one more comment, and I will ask you to leave.
You ask me to leave, and I'll go. I don't have a problem with that.
You can continue to talk.
This is not the thing that I wanted to do all my life for 5 years. I can tell you that. I'm talking about rescheduling a cost discussion meeting, and there are bases for that. Mr. Buell mentioned a basis for it, that he wanted to do it after the Coastal Commission. You didn't tell him he was out of order. There's a lot of interesting issues here. There's a lot of risk to this project. You do not have liquefaction covered to the satisfaction of the people here. You do not have many of the issues, and you need to schedule further out. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm laying a foundation for why I think your scheduling is incorrect. Okay? And if I'm not allowed to do that, then I guess you have to give my public comment for me like Mrs. Bowker used to do. Reschedule this meeting for next fall. That would be a more realistic goal. And I'll tell you why, okay? The reason why is that you don't have any permits. You do not have a groundwater management plan. You will not have for the next 5 years. The lawsuit will be a 5 to 10 year lawsuit, the one you're talking about that's a cost here. And I talked to Warren Morgan about this, and he told me most of these basin adjudication arguments take between 5 and 10 years. Now, I know that you have 1 year listed on your rule with the judge, but they don't go that way. And you've got 500 John Does that are really mad. So I'm going to tell you something. You're going to run up a legal bill that you won't believe because you decided you would do this. I say put it off till next fall.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. And if
I'm sorry you don't appreciate a differing opinion.
Enough, Mr. Barrow. Any further public comment? Okay, do we need a motion on rescheduling?
Yes, sir. I'd appreciate a motion.
Do we have a motion for that?
I wish to move staff's recommendation regarding the rescheduling of the meeting.
Economic Advisory Committee was looking at the economic element, and for each of the communities in this county, we were saying what can be done to help each of these committees to become have a sound economy, to have jobs for the people that lived within the community, to have opportunities for employment, sales tax revenue generation. And in looking at that, the Economic Advisory Committee, as a group of 15 people, and I was not the only person working on this, recognize that Los Osos serves a lot of visitors. And so when the moratorium is lifted, provide more visitor-serving opportunities so that people here can work and we can generate sales tax revenue and we can have a healthy business district. Unlike, actually, Steve Ebrey back in the late 80s when the Morro Bay Task Force was gearing up to form the first the state estuary and then the national estuary, pointed out that Los Osos is rather unique in that we're the only oceanfront community in the state of California where we have our residents living around the waterfront and don't have motels and restaurants and all this other sort of stuff down around the waterfront. This is a really unique community. And the economic element, the Economic Advisory Committee, the economic element is one part of the county's general plan, was trying to take advantage of the unique elements of each community within this county. And each of our communities has its own personality, its own distinct flavor. And I have always stated that Los Osos is about the people that live here. And I have no desire to caramelize Los Osos and to change the composition of this community. And I've been getting a lot of digs and seeing a lot of emails going back and forth that sort of imply I'm leading the charge to have Clint Eastwood come down here and become the first mayor of Los Osos, and that's furthest from the truth.
Any additional board comment? Director Freiler.
The CSD board, the directors and staff, make every attempt to follow the rules and policies of a public, I don't know, what are we, jurisdiction or district. We have public comment, which the public is free to speak to their concerns over 3 minutes. However, what we have now is we have a second public comment, which means you can start talking about consent calendar, administrative report, committee reports, and just go anywhere you want. And I don't think that's the purpose of public comment on the consent calendar, the administrative report, or the committee report. Now, we have some wording of policy, but I think we should tighten it up. I think we should make it that you, the public, that wants to make a statement, public comment, be specific on what item they're talking about. Not to, you know, go around. I just don't think it's right. I don't think it's productive. And I'm asking the rest of the board to support me in this and have this brought back so we can discuss it and make a tighter policy on the consent, the administrative report, the committee report portion of our public comment.
Any other director comments? Director LeGros?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This evening, there was discussion regarding the state revolving fund loan and the timetable that we are up to get out our proprietary paperwork in order to secure that loan. As a board member, I've been elected to act fiscally responsible It is not my intent ever to place this community in jeopardy, as some speakers have suggested that we do so tonight in regards to yet again postponing or not meeting the deadline that we must meet. It would be catastrophic for this community to lose the state revolving fund. Mrs. Bowker was very distinct earlier this evening in pointing out that she has, personally has no trust in the possibility of extending this loan. We have done so over and over again, but it with much, well, I remember a few years ago when you tried to get the state to, and succeeded to get the state to extend the loan, it was with much groveling in order to do so. At this point, I would be, from this board, and I would be acting very, very irresponsibly to put into motion any sort of activity which would result in the loss of this loan. And as such, I fully support staff and this board in pursuing the project that we now have underway, which, by the way, we are out to bid for. Now, in regards to the lawsuit that, which we filed 2 weeks ago, which there was some discussion about this evening, this lawsuit was filed specifically to protect the community. It was filed in order to ensure that our water supply is secured and protected. And in filing the lawsuit, we want to see that everybody in this community who has stakes in our water supply participate in its maintenance. We want to spread the cost, if there are future costs, for maintaining this water supply amongst everybody in town. Now, I find it rather ironic that on the CCLA website, which I read regularly, I read it regularly, on the about on the page listed about the CCLO, the third item on that list is the spreading out of cost of all future infrastructure among the entire community.
Any further board comment? Agenda and scheduling.
Mr. President, your next meeting is a special meeting. It's Wednesday, March 10, 7 p.m. at the South Bay Fire Department. You're going to be talking about bond-related costs, how much you have left in the kitty, and some of your major ticket items that you need to budget for coming up in the next 2 years from bond proceeds. Following that, your regular meeting will be here 2 weeks from tonight, 7 p.m. at the South Bay Community Center. And then on March 23rd, you have your fourth special meeting. And again, you'll be talking about bond costs what you need to budget to cover programs coming up over the next 2 years with your bond proceeds. So that'll be Tuesday, March 23, 7 p.m. at the South Bay Fire Department.
I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I want to take the opposite.